Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast for August 29th, 2021, with my sermon on another of the Psalms, the very first in the Psalter. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. I think we can hear the wisdom in that. Psalm 1 is considered, as I mentioned in the intro, one of the wisdom psalms, which are, as my handy study Bible puts it, educational or reflective in tone, with attention to how one experiences and interprets life in the world and with implications for how one should act. So are we to read this poem, the very first psalm, as a self-help tool for happy living? A list of do's and don'ts, do this, don't do that. I don't know if I like the sound of that. Though frankly, sometimes I do want to be told what to do, which is why I have no problem with government mask mandates, for instance. But at times, I think we all chafe at having to obey, even when we're told it's for our own good. Maybe that's why some people get so angry about mask mandates. Though I don't hear people fighting for their right to go shirtless and shoeless in restaurants. Anyway, I just spent a few days with my British nephew, Daniel, fully vaccinated and visiting the States for the first time in 2 years. Danny has grown up a lot since I last saw him in person. He's now a 6-foot-tall 16-year-old with a voice so deep that sometimes I can't even hear it. And though we chat on WhatsApp regularly, it was good to be together, hear about his life face-to-face. Turns out Dan's a pretty good student, which I may not have predicted from his first brush with academia. I still remember asking the 5-year-old Daniel about his going from half-day school to full day. So, Danny, I asked, how do you like school? Well, adults really should get the answers they deserve to such silly questions. And I certainly did. I don't like it, Danny replied with conviction. Oh no, I said, why not? Lindsay, he said patiently, as if our roles were reversed and he was the adult speaking to a very young child. I don't like school because they make you mind, that's British for behave, of course, they make you mind, and he added, his voice dripping disdain, you have to learn things. It's so boring. Well, Danny is now a rising sixth former in England and did well on his recent exams, so apparently he has actually learned a few things. And he's been very, you know, COVID compliant, so he is willing to mind, at least sometimes. But the truth is, Daniel at 5 blurted out what most of us feel well after school age. We don't really want to mind, nor do we really want to learn things. Oh, we may be interested in acquiring a new skill or learning facts about some new thing or place, but it seems that too often, mostly what we want to learn are things that reaffirm what we already know and believe. And the result, of course, is that I, for instance, read the New York Times and someone else swears by Fox News and never the twain shall meet. And we aren't so fond of minding either. Of course, we Presbyterians do have a lot of rules, but there have been times in our history when we spent so much energy making sure other people obeyed the rules, whatever they were at the time, that we forgot why our rules are there in the first place, to help us better serve God and neighbor. Clearly, it's not just 5-year-olds who have a problem with behaving and learning. So it's a good thing that Psalm 1 isn't so much about book learning or about rules and regulations, but about a way of life. As one commentator explains, wisdom literature begins with the premise common to all biblical literature, that God made the world and created an order within which the human race must learn to live. And through wisdom, human beings can cope with the world and live happy and successful lives. Wisdom authors understand human beings as active agents, often dramatizing the moral life as involving two ways, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Our wisdom psalm, Psalm 1, is about worldview, about orientation, about the direction we point ourselves towards. It starts with a beatitude. Happy are those, or in other translations, blessed are those. Though this poem begins with negatives, what happy persons are not. They are not the ones who follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. The verbs clue us in. It's not just where we might end up with the wicked, but how we would get there. By literally walking after the wicked, by standing around on the sinner's path, we may end up sitting, dwelling with the scoffers. There's a lot of movement in these phrases, and when the wicked finally do settle down, it's in the wrong place. In contrast to the restless wicked, the righteous, the happy ones, are not always on the move, because they're like trees that have been planted, you could say transplanted by God. They put down roots in fertile soil near life-giving water. They bear fruit and prosper. And so we have to be careful here that this isn't an advertisement for the prosperity gospel. Follow God and get things, just as here being blessed, being happy, has little to do with our 21st century Western ideas of happiness, comfort, self-fulfillment, independence, living the good life. Remember the Beatitudes of Jesus from Luke's Sermon on the Mount? Blessed or happy are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you. The happiness the psalmist talks about isn't incompatible with hardship or even suffering. It's an odd kind of happiness to our modern ears, but it's more solid, the Bible suggests, than any of the attractive but fleeting things that seem to make us happy. Possessions, power, self-sufficiency, more solid than taking a seat in the scoffer pews. But if happiness comes from dwelling deeply with the word of God night and day, is that really likely, even possible? We're not cloistered monks, after all. We can't pray and read the Bible 24/7. We have to work to clean the house, make dinner, check on our friends, put the kids to bed, exercise. Well, a lot of monks clean the house too, and make dinner, and serve the poor, and seek justice. We don't have to cloister ourselves away in order to plant ourselves firmly in God, or maybe rather to let ourselves be planted firmly by God and dwell with, live by God's word. Often, of course, we think of being immovable as a metaphor for stagnating, refusing to grow. Paradoxically, the psalmist suggests that staying put is often how we grow. It's how we learn things. And it's how we come to mind not our own will, but God's. And the thing is, it's not boring at all. It turns out that it's the rushing around, searching for pleasure, for quick fixes, and the next new thing that gets old fast. And it's the staying put, letting our roots bind us to God, that gets exciting, that leads to what the psalmist calls delight. I think of the literal staying put of this pandemic time, of the deep spiritual roots many of you have put down through prayer and community, how your leaves have stayed green in this time of metaphorical drought. Thomas Merton wrote, "A tree gives glory to God by being a tree. It consents to God's creative love. It expresses an idea which is in God's mind. So the more the tree is like itself, the more it is like God. By dwelling with God, we consent, to use Merton's word, to be more what God wants us to be, more like God's idea of us, more like God, insofar as we mere humans can be." This psalm teaches us that we have a choice. Now, it seems an easy one. Who wouldn't choose God? But the advice of the wicked, the ways of the sinners are tempting and not always clearly marked. And even once we make the choice for God, we often find ourselves on a path full of forks in the road, detours and dangers and dead ends. We must constantly choose our way, the way of the righteous, which the Lord watches over, or the way of the wicked, which is not lasting, but leads to being driven hither and yon like chaff in the wind, not as punishment, but as the unavoidable result of choosing to be self-centered rather than God-centered. And the thing is, even when we choose, our flourishing depends on the constant care of God, who has planted us in fertile ground and tends us faithfully always. So no, it's not an easy choice. But we don't make it in a vacuum. We don't make it alone. And we don't make it for ourselves alone, so that we can be counted among the righteous and too bad about anyone else. As Jeremiah affirmed, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." We put down roots in God, like a tree planted by living water, so we can stand strong and bear fruit. That's a call that resounds throughout Scripture. What does that look like? Well, let me give the last word here to the great gospel singer Mavis Staples, and let her tell you and sing you a story. You can find the video on YouTube, by the way. Just Google Mabel Staples, "We Shall Not Be Moved," live in Chicago. But now, listen.
Back in the day, you know, we were marching with Dr. King. And, you know, us youngsters, some of us would take off by ourselves. And we would just march all day and sing. After a while, somebody would say, "Let's get something to eat." So we would stop. We'd go in this restaurant. And we sit down. We saw the waitress when she went in the back. And then she wouldn't come back out. Took her a long time to come out. But we sat there. When she came out, she said, "Y'all get out of here. I'm gonna call the police." We just sit there. And when we heard the police coming, we heard the sirens and all, we joined together. made our chain, locked arms, and we began to sing this song. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We shall not
be moved.
We shall not be just like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We're fighting for our children.
We shall not be moved.
We're fighting for our children. We shall not be like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh yeah. We shall not
be moved.
Oh yeah. We shall not.
We shall not be moved.
Oh, we shall not. We shall not
be moved.
Oh, like a
tree planted by the
water.
To God from Mavis Staples. Stay planted, my friends, and to God alone be the glory. Amen.